Our scripture this morning, I think, is pretty familiar. From Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 1 through 7. Maybe some challenging words. I invite you to listen for words that speak to you or to us as First Christian Church. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a child, whom he put among them, and said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever becomes humble like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were fastened around your neck and you were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world because of stumbling blocks. Occasions for stumbling are bound to come, but woe to the one by whom the stumbling block comes." May God bless our hearing and our understanding of this scripture. Any challenges or words of comfort that you heard? Yes, Chris. Be humble like children. Yeah, we'll talk about that. Was there another? Don't be a stumbling block to cause one of these little ones to stumble. Well, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Do you remember Hans Christian Andersen's story, The Emperor's New Clothes? The emperor was led to believe that he was receiving wonderful new clothes from the tailor, but in reality, was being dressed in nothing but his birthday suit. In other words, as he paraded around town, he was completely naked, but proudly believed that he was dressed in the finest. Of course, since he was emperor, no one was brave enough to say anything, or else they questioned their own perception of his nakedness. No one spoke of it, except a small child who didn't understand pretension and simply observed that the emperor was naked. In the original story, the child was actually beaten with sticks and canes by the crowd, which refused to acknowledge the simple reality announced by the child. What a horrible response to a child. But do remember the disciples of Jesus in the Gospels who spoke sternly to those who brought little children to Jesus, in turn receiving Jesus' stern reprimand. "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." The kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. Jesus warned, "If anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble," children, these little ones, the innocent, the vulnerable. We call this a no-brainer in our society. Of course, one should protect innocent children. We have laws and morals in place to protect children in our world, except perhaps poor children, or refugee children, or black children in Africa, or even in our own cities where politics can get in the way, or children kept alive by U.S. aid. But at least we give lip service to protecting all the children. In Jesus' day, no such protection was even given lip service. Children were to be seen and not heard. Young children often did not survive. 1 in 3 children died. So adults, even parents, were careful about emotional attachment. They were too fragile, too vulnerable. So many adults kept their distance, even though children made up 1/3 of the population. Jesus did not keep his distance. Jesus had a special affinity for the fragile or vulnerable in his society. Children, the crippled, diseased, poor, orphans, widows, and refugees, even the dead. Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. If anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. We hear similar words about the vulnerable in Jesus' parable of the sheep and goats. Whatever you did for the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Jesus proclaimed responsibility. He came to show us how to live as humans in relationship with God. Jesus came to show us a glimpse of God. There are no children or vulnerable people whom God does not love and feel responsible for. God so loves the whole world, even or especially the children, the vulnerable, the prisoners, or even gang members. God, through Jesus, showed us how to care for even the little ones, even the least of these. Remember, Jesus came to initiate God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. He came to invite his disciples, all who would follow him, to enter God's reign of love and responsibility for all people and all creation. He said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." How many of you find this to be a clear and easy instruction from Jesus? Yeah, kind of a challenge. Did Jesus not like adults? What is it about children that is required for entrance into God's kingdom? Well, Jesus explained, "Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." And remember what I said, the lowly place of children in Jesus' time. To become like a little child is to humble oneself, to give up pretensions of self-importance and self-reliance, and instead to put one's full trust in God. Status is very important in the adult world, but a child accepts that his or her status is dependent upon another, upon a parent, or even better, upon God. So Jesus' followers are called to give up any quest for status and to simply accept one's place in the family of God. Furthermore, Jesus pointed out that to welcome a child is to accept a vulnerable person who can do nothing for your own status or ambitions, no ulterior motives or hidden agendas. The greatest is the one who is no longer concerned about being the greatest. The greatest is one who sees and receives Jesus in his or her acceptance of that vulnerable person, seeing Jesus in each one. Now, Jesus changed his language in the next verses to make clear that he was not only talking about a child, but also the vulnerable, the immature, the ones with no influence, the outcasts, and as he often said, the widows, orphans, and refugees, and prisoners even. And he warned about causing one of these little ones to sin. The follower of Jesus chooses to be responsible for the least of these as a servant rather than as a master. Think about that. As a servant rather than a master. Note that Jesus did not rebuke his disciples for wanting to be the greatest or the best. Instead, he redefined what is the greatest. He made that clear when he took the children in his arms. But even before that, when he became a child who could be picked up and held in human arms, who needed protection himself. He made that most clear in washing the disciples' feet at the Last Supper and then dying on the cross for their and our sin. The greatest is the one who serves the least of these. Jesus was talking about humility. Did you realize that in the Greek language in which the New Testament was written, it did not have even a word for humility? Leonard Sweet explains that even the adjective humble almost always meant mean-spirited, low, groveling, or poor. The Greeks apparently looked down upon the poor, like our society increasingly does, as weak and undeserving. Humility was not a virtue, but a quality to be despised. But in the kingdom, in Jesus' esteem, humility is not putting oneself down or others, but accepting oneself and one's gifts and talents and those of others as gifts from God. Not ignoring them or neglecting them, but cultivating them, growing them, investing them, and then giving them away for the glory of God, the giver. Humility is about making the best of what God has created in you and given you to make the biggest impact for God's kingdom. The goal is not for your own life to be noticed and appreciated, but for God to be the one who is noticed in your life. It is not to grow your own status, but God's status in the world. In a childlike faith, your dependence on God grows greater every day. In a childlike faith, your own image grows smaller, while the image of God within you grows clearer and stronger. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? The one who shows God most clearly. Our take-home question is for us as a church. How can we, First Christian Church, show God more clearly through our lives and ministries? Will you pray with me? We thank you, O God, for calling us together to be your church, for giving us gifts and talents, time on this earth, resources, opportunities, a community in which to serve. We thank you, O God, that you have called us to be the body of your Son Jesus right here in Grand Junction, to walk with your people, to serve them, to appreciate them, to share with them the good news of your love. Strengthen us, empower us, embolden us to do that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.